Well, no, he also had clothing, but he didn't have the fancy Ksonis Pasim. What was the difference in price? What was the difference in value between the Ksonis Pasim that he wore and the clothing that the others wore? So the Gemara said it was $5 more. Their suits cost $125 and his suit cost $130. The whole difference was nothing. But Ksonis Pasim was a little more expensive than this. It wasn't that they were wearing rags that were worth $5 and he was wearing $500 clothing. It was $5 more, the Gemara says, and only because of this mashahu of partiality that the father showed between, he didn't treat all the children equally, he had a favorite child, so that's why the brothers hated each other. Also, the Gemara understands based on the pasuk that it was a sin. Otherwise the Gemara wouldn't check the yachid, they wouldn't pick on him to say that he did not have it. The next pasuk says that it was wrong. When the brothers saw that the father had a favorite son, so they hated him. When sinners and others, the Lord could double the Shalom, then it says later on that they stole them, they wanted to kill them, and so on. So obviously this was all the fault of Yaakov Avinu. So the Gemara says, and then even later when Yosef disappeared, then he treated the Yamin as the favorite son. He didn't want to let the Yamin go to the son, he was only afraid that the Yamin was going to die. So the Gemara says that that's not proper, so that when people have children, they should be careful not to treat any one child as a favorite. Many people violate this today. With all the psychology books and with all the books on raising children, people don't know what it says in the Chumash. They don't know what the Gemara says. The Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. Religious people do it. They have a favorite child. It's not allowed. It causes tremendous strife among the children. I don't know. The Gemara doesn't pick on Yitzchak. Who had the favorite was Esau. But he didn't do anything about it. Doesn't seem that he did anything about it. Yaakov did something about it. He bought him clothing that was worth more than the other brothers. The Gemara has a comment in Brachos Tanka regarding Yosef, that when Yosef came to the home of Potiphar, and then when he was in the Beis HaSurim also, whatever he touched was successful. So the Gemara comments that take it for Tamar Chochem Brachos. The sin, if the guy's a Tamar Chochem or not. If you have a bracha when you engage him, then it's a sin that he's a Tamar Chochem. If you don't have a bracha, it's a sin that he's not a Tamar Chochem. Because the pasuk tells us that take him a Tamar Chochem bracha. The Gemara has a comment in Sefer regarding Yosef. Also an interesting comment that what prevented him from doing the Avera, sinning with Eishes Potiphar, so the Gemara says he was ready to do the Avera. But this Yukna Shalav is Nirasolo Bachalom. That he visualized in the middle of, as he was about to do Yavera, he reminded himself of his old father whom he hadn't seen in so many years, of his father in Eretz Canaan, and he was just thinking, how could he do such an Avera? So the Gemara tells us that even though it's only a sentimental thing, and it sounds a little ridiculous, but still this is an important factor, let's say when you try to convince people that they should become religious, let's say non-observant people, that you try to convince them to become religious, so the Gemara assumes that this is a consideration. You have to tell him, what would your father say about that? What would your grandfather say about that? Let's say the father, the grandfather is religious. So the Gemara points out that is very often it's not a sentimental feeling. That this is a very strong attachment that people have to traditions, to family traditions. And if you bring out the fact that your father, your grandfather, your ancestors were observant, were religious Jews, you should also be an observant Jew. So sometimes the person will be shaken up by that and come back to himself and realize that he should also be religious. It's not a false consideration. You might assume that it's a correct consideration, it's a valid consideration. But sometimes people are so gone away from tradition, from their family, that it doesn't work. They have not boost the Yukna Shalavit. There was one fellow who had Smicha from Yeshiva, who learned Zafyaini, a religious guy, he's in business. And his son went to Yeshiva College just, I think, for 2 years. Happened that he didn't have good rabbis, that's why he wasn't interested in learning. Then he left, and now he's not interested in learning Torah at all. So the father said that the reason why his son is not interested, and he was interested in the promise to learn Zafyan, is because the father's father was an old religious Jew. So he says that his father's image always comes back. His father passed away many years ago, so his father's image always stands in front of his eye. And he says he wants to retain the family tradition. He knows his father was a pious man and his grandfather's ancestors were religious too. He says, who did my son see? My son saw me. Wind trading guy, business, you know. It didn't look so religious. It wasn't. Not that pious. It is who is his son, what image is his son gonna have? He doesn't, his son doesn't have any Muslim official others to look up to respect. But if there is such a Demusbiyukin in the family, so this is a, Gemara considers this a very positive factor in keeping a person observed. Not some a superficial, ridiculous thing, a sentimental thing. Gemara considers this a positive fact. The simple pshat is yes, but that's because he withstood his temptation. That he had mamish, it was all set up for him to do the aveira. And he was through the temptation to the other. That's the Pasha Pshat.
Yeah.
And others say...
But it wasn't so... I mean, it was extremely just because of the column.
Okay. Okay. And there are other people who don't. There are other people learning in Yeshiva right now who don't withstand their temptation. With the Rebbe's, with the Bogdians all around. They do sin under the Rebbe's eyes and under their parents' eyes and under the grandparents' eyes. So to withstand a temptation where everything was so comfortable, he could sin in the most comfortable fashion, the most pleasant fashion, and get away with it. And to understand that, even with remembering his father and so on. Still an accomplishment. Another thing is called the Yisrael Tzadik because he supplied the entire world with food. So the Pasuk says in Ashrei, Tzadik HaShem Magdil L'chol Chayrot, and Tzadik HaShem L'chol Rabba. That because HaShem is Magdil L'chol Chayrot, and he supplies everybody with food, that's why he's a Tzadik. The Yisrael Tzadik also. It says, the Gemara calls him the Yisrael Tzadik. He's a Gemara later on Brachas, and says to the Gemara, always, Midrashim and Gemara. In the Chumash he's not called Yisrael Tzadik. In the Midrashim and Gemara he's called Yisrael Tzadik. What? I don't think so. I think in the Midrashim and the Gemara he is called Yisrael Tzadik. Chomesh and Shalyesh and Tzadik, you say it in the Siddur. You just mentioned that the first one say you shouldn't say it. The tefillah that we say the Rebbeinu Shlomo for the Chalayim is that we say Chomesh and Shalyesh and Tzadik. The Siddur is clear, it's like... No, but I think in the Midrashim and in the Gemara and Agadatis it's very common that Yisrael is referred to as Yisrael Tzadik. And the Mefarshim and Yehan Yaakov give these two explanations, either because one who withstands temptation in a very comfortable situation is considered a Tzadik. Or the other interpretation they give is that one who feeds the whole world is called a Tzadik.
Keep the world alive.
Yeah, it depends which government. It's the Arabs. The Arabs are going to kill Jews if you feed them, so it's no mitzvah. But to keep the whole world going, the whole world would die from starvation at that time, if not the years. And he kept the whole world going, so that was a big mitzvah. The Varshman does that, so we have to do it all. The Halak to the Drava. The Varshman is Vazbiyel Kol Chayrosh. We have to open him as Vazbiyel Kol Chayrosh. The Pasuk says at the end of the parasha that Paro celebrated his birthday. Yom Huleret says, Paro, and that's when he got back his Tzara Mashkin. So some commentaries say based on that pasuk that celebrating birthdays is a great issue of practice and it's Bachukat HaGoyim. No, that's a shot. You find historically that in different times Jews, religious Jews did celebrate their birthday. So it's questionable whether you should really consider it a Bachukat HaGoyim.
Would that be based on the solar year?
No, this is not a Gemara.
No.
Some Achrayim mentioned that we see from the pasuk that Paro celebrates a birthday, and Jews don't celebrate birthdays. So whichever birthday you celebrate. The Hebrew birthday is also Chukas HaGoyim.
Like
it says not to go to Chukas HaGoyim, and then here the pasuk says this is on the Chukas HaGoyim. No, this pasuk is not mashma. You have the other pasuk that says one is not permitted to do Chukas HaGoyim. What has it got to do with Darkei HaGoyim? Right. So the Zohar has a comment on this. There's a famous Zohar that says that you see Jews always celebrate Yahrzeit, and Goyim always celebrate birthdays. So this is based on a Zohar that the Zohar gives a mashal. That when a baby is born, everybody's very joyous. Everybody's happy, they throw a party, and everybody rejoices. And then when the person dies, everybody's sad, and they're crying. So the Zohar says, Moshel Ma'adav Adaymeh, that when a ship used to go out to sea, and used to travel for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, it was really lost. Contact was lost with the people on land. They had no way of knowing whether the people on the ship are still alive or not. So what they used to do is, they still have it sometimes now, when a ship goes out for the first time to sea, now it's not a safari. They throw a big party, the families of the people who are going on the ship throw a big party, and they break a bottle of schnapps on the side of the ship. It's a big symptom. And then the ship disappears for a long, long time, and the family is worried, who knows if the people on the boat are alive or not. And then when the ship comes back, so they don't throw any parties. So the Zohar says, and the people just come home, they land, and everybody goes home, and then the children are happy. But they don't make the same type of celebration, public celebration that they make when the ship goes out to sea. So the Zohar makes this comment that this is just the way people have a funny way of celebrating and not celebrating. When a baby is born, they really don't know whether the kid is going to grow up to be a tzaddik or a rasha. So what are we celebrating about? What are we clapping? What are we so happy? What are we rejoicing? We throw a party. Then when the boat goes out, when the ship goes out to sea, how do we know? Maybe other people will drown. Maybe the boat will sink. So what are people celebrating about? When a big tzaddik dies, so that's an occasion for celebration. That the person, and when the boat comes back to home, and everybody is alive, and everybody's in one piece, and the merchandise is there, and they made a lot of money, and it was a successful trip. So then you should really celebrate. And people don't do it like that. So the same thing, when a person died, he was a tzaddik. So he didn't ruin his neshama, he didn't waste his life, and he didn't ruin his life. So that's an occasion for celebration. That's how the Gemara says. The Gemara practice says there in that Gemara Ksubas, but Rabbi Shimon Levi and Rabbi Shimon, when he died, he used to say that it's like a day lula, it's like a hasana. And the neshama, when a person dies, a tzaddik dies, and his pure neshama goes back to heaven, so in heaven they rejoice upon the receiving of this pure neshama, like the chassan rejoices when he has his kala, when they get married. That's a day lula. So that's an occasion for rejoicing. When a person dies, and his life was fulfilled, and it was meaningful, and he died as a tzaddik. So the Zohar says that people that they don't think into what they're doing, so they rejoice when the baby is born, and they cry when the person dies. You really should. Ali B'demis, it should be just the reverse. That people should be happy on the occasion of a death of a tzaddik, and not cry, but they should be nervous when a baby is born. Who knows what can be with his death?
I know I come to make a
little kick from the idea of that. That's why they make
a lot of people
think
that.
You test Kislev is a yard time?
I'll
just read some Mazvich and Magad, really. I don't know. No, fasting, there are different reasons why you fast. Some say that it's considered a yom hadin for the niftar, for harai that he died on that day. Every year on that day, we assume that maybe he's being nidon again. Others say that it's maybe a yom hadin for the whole family.
That way, give your touch here, whatever.
Your touch here, that's to be mechaber the niftar. It says in the Gemara Baba Kama, the end of the first prayer, covered also lo be yom also. And she's still another guy. So the Gemara says, Malavisha Hashiva Yeshiva Al Kuzlo. We had a table before. Right. So the Gemara says that the most recovered thing you can do for a person is to dedicate learning in his memory. So that's what the meaning was. Years and years ago, he used to say special Shira on Zayin Odeh, the Mechabit Moshe Rabbeinu, and today Shira on Yotzai, the Mishnah is on Yotzai. That's why the Mechabit Yotzai.
Oh, I thought I was thinking that maybe because if it's Yom Kippur, it's a thing.
No, they don't say they celebrate birthday, they used to celebrate when the baby was born. The very first, the birthday, when the baby was born, yeah. The end of the parasha, Rashi quotes in the Medrash that Yosef sinned. That's how the Medrash interprets the parasha. That Yosef sinned in pleading with the Sar HaMashkim, Kim Zachartani, that he should get me out of the jail, he should get me out of the prison. That Yosef shouldn't have asked him to do him that favor. And because of this sin, that's why he was punished and he had to stay in prison another 2 years. That we read the parasha, we get the impression it's just the reverse. Yosef never was stuck in prison. And 2 years later, and Yosef did a good thing. He tried with all of his might, with all the power that he had in his hands to get out of prison. Why not? A person is in a predicament. They're in a pickle. So try to get out of it. About it. Why not? So he did the right thing. And then later, it didn't help. The Sar HaMashkim forgot. And then 2 years later, Parah had a dream. And finally, it turned out that he got freed. So the medrash says just the reverse. Really, he would have been freed earlier. He would have left prison before the 2 years were up. But because he did this sin of asking the Sarah Mashkin to remember him and to get me out of the prison, that was an avera on his part. He should have had bitachon Hashem. So that's why he was punished to stay in prison another 2 years. When the 2 years were up, that's how the medrash comes. When the 2 years were up, I indicated, okay, the prison term, the punishment for Yosef is up. So now it's time to free him. So I said, first part to Abachalom, in order to be able to set Yosef free. So the Mephoshim more comment, why was it an avera on the part of Yosef to ask the Sarah Mashkin? Why is that not there?
Maybe you could say that Mamba said by us, I'm going to Mitzrayim. Normally by anybody else going to Mitzrayim, then it would have been Chabad Nefesh and it would have been Mitzrayim.
Mm-hmm.
But since Aaron is such a Madrega, so you should have had to tell Hashem, so maybe you could say the same thing by Yosef.
Right, right. So that's the popular theory that the Beis HaLevi gives, Hashem. He says that the Rashi here quotes the Medrash, Asher HaGev Asher Sam Hashem Eftachoy, well, I've gone over Hobbins. So the Medrash says, Asher HaGev, it's the praises of a person, Yeshuv Shalom. The praises of a man, Asher Sam Hashem Iftachar, that he relies on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Medrash says, Zeh Yosef. This refers to Yosef. So Adar Adar Paket, how does it refer to Yosef? Yosef didn't rely on Hashem. That's why Yosef was punished, because he didn't rely on Hashem. So the Beis HaLevi explains, no, because Yosef was on such a high madrega of Yerushalayim, he was so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he should not have asked the Sarah Mashkin to get him out. That every person has a Chayavus Hishtadlus. And life, you can't expect that everything is going to be presented to you on a silver platter. If you're going to want a job, normal people have to apply for a job and have to try to get their father to call up the guy and try to get their cousins and their shvigas and whatever. You have to use a little perplexity in life because there are a lot of people vying for the same job. So you have to try to do whatever is in your power to succeed, to get the shidduch and to get the job and to get into graduate school and so on. You have to use whatever you can. So everyone has a chayvus hishtadlus. Things are not going to happen. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is not going to do everything min hashamayim. You have to try to do whatever you're able to do. Then when you do a little bit of hishtadlus, then the Rebbeinu Shlomo will see to it that everything will be taken care of. So how much hishtadlus does a person have to do? You can get everybody to call up that graduate school. You get 25 letters of recommendation in order to get into that medical school or something. So depending on how close the person is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, call Hashem the whole kerov. Closer a person is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the closer HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him. So if a person is very close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't have to do any hishtadlus at all. The person is a little further away, he has to do a little hishtadlus. The person is very far away, but he's not that close with Hashem, he's more into Olam HaTeva, so then he has to do more hishtadlus. So that's what the Medrash says. Asher HaGev Asher Sam Hashem Iftacha, Zeh Yosef. So Yosef, normally his whole lifetime, was very close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was a great tzaddik. On his level of closeness to Hashem, he should not have asked the Sarah Mashkin to help him out. But to him it was an avera to ask, and he was punished for 2 years. If we would be in prison and we would ask the Sarah Mashkin, that perhaps would not be enough for us. We would have to do a little more struggle than asking the Sarah Mashkin. We would have to try to get everybody to send telegrams and make a protest rally in front of the Egyptian embassy to get us free from the Egyptian prison. We would have to do more. But for Yosef and his level of Yerushalayim, because he was close to Hashem, he wasn't supposed to do that. That's what the Beis HaLevi has the same in common.
It's very basic. I mean, first of all, it's like when I come out and my father's going to run it. If you want to say that the others are on different standards, then you can't learn anything out of you. How do you learn anything out of the others? If you want to say that they're on a different level.
We learn from this episode that the closer a person is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the less hishtadlus he will be obligated to do. And the further away one is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the more he will be totally dependent. And if a person strives to be closer to Hashem, so he'll be less totally dependent. He will be subject less and less to the Mishpatei
Avodah. The person is not supposed to consider himself on a lower level, he's supposed to assume always that he's supposed to recognize what
he is. The person has to always know, right? He has to assess his position to know how close he is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? It's like Yehuda. He didn't assess his position properly. He thought that he would not be listened to by the brothers. He would have been listened to. He would have told them that they should say yes. They would have said yes. We're learning this long thesis on Yud Gaon and Aleph. Thesis is commenting on the Gemara. And when the brothers were planning to kill Yosef, and he told them, so why did the room fell fair to his brother? He wanted to save him, but he didn't really save him so much. He just threw him into a bor. Let's not kill him ourselves. So the Medrash comments on this passage that if Reuben would have realized that his mitzvah is will be written in the Chumash, and the Jews will be reading this L'dorei Doris every year when we lay in Parshas Vayesh, we read about what Reuben did. So the Medrash comments that Reuben would have already carried his brother home on his shoulders to the father. He would have really saved him. He didn't realize how much covet he was going to get by doing this Hatzolah. He would have realized that he would have done much more. So the Medrash is telling us that many times covet is a motivating factor in people doing mitzvahs. That if people get more covet from doing the mitzvah, if you give the person more covet, he gives more money to the yeshiva. If you give him more covet, he gives more money to the yeshiva. And that's an inyan. And the Medrash is saying that's a positive inyan. Even though we should really do mitzvahs to Hashem Shemayim, not to Hashem covet. Nevertheless, the Gemara tells us, Liyolam Yafikar Matar Mitzvah Shavar Lishma. And the Torah Shalom Lishma Bo Lishma, and Abchaim Valozhenei writes in Nefesh Achayim that the Gemara says Le'olam, it means Le'olam. Le'olam Yafikar, we should always do Mitzvah Shalom Lishma, because that's the way we're only human beings. Abchaim Valozhenei has it because he's attacking the Chassidim. The Chassidim used to insist in the beginning, now not so. The Chassidim used to, one of their big hang-ups was that they wouldn't do the Mitzvah unless it was pure. The Mitzvah was only pure if it's done religiously motivated, completely, totally Lishma. So they wouldn't begin to daven in the morning unless they would make hachanas and make sure that they're going to be davening Lishma. So by the time they would finish the hachanas, they would have already missed his month Lishma and his month too. Then they would start making hachanas to daven Mincha and Myriz and to make the Seder on Pesach night, they'd beat the month Yeshta Chatzis and hachanas and so on. Yeah, used to make a mikveh and then make hachanas and prepare themselves before that, and that was the way it began. So Abchaim Alojana has the attack that he says that a person who says Kriya Shema after his man, or who eats matzah after Hatzis, is the same thing as a person who blows shofar on Pesach and eats matzah on Purim and reads the Megillah on Rosh Hashanah, if it's 1 minute off in his man. So it's the wrong man. What's the difference really whether you're sitting in Sukkah on Pesach and eating matzah on Sukkahs, or you're eating the matzah on Pesach after Hatzis, and you're saying you're Krishna, after his man Krishna, it's no good. Aye, but the time is that you have to do it in Shema. This is Avad, the Gemara says, I'll take Vaughan Vishma. The Gemara says, I'll take Vaughan Vishma for Allah, and you should always do mitzvahs in Vishma. And for Allah, the Torah Vishma is Rechav Vaughan Habi, Avad, you have to learn Torah Vishma, and you have to do mitzvahs in Vishma, Maisim Torah Vishma. But, on the other hand, after all, we are human beings, and the Rabbi Shalom knows that we can't demand of us the impossible. So the Gemara tells us, in the name of the Rabbi Shalom, the Gemara is telling us Allah, that in the name of the Rabbi Shalom, that we all know, you have to go to Torah Mitzvah Shalom Vishma, that you should always do. How do you train a child to learn? So the Rebbe says he's going to give prizes. That whoever knows the stuff is going to get a lollipop. He's going to get a nickel or a dollar. Now it has to be $10. You have to promise that you're going to give candies and promise you're going to give money and prizes and awards. You have to give some incentives. After the key is for him, we give an incentive, we give a star. As the people grow older, so we give different incentives. But basically what the thing is that you're learning Shalom Lishma. So that's what the Gemara says. The person should always learn Shalom Lishma. Shemitav Shalom Lishma, Bo Lishma. The Gemara says nothing to be embarrassed about.
You're always going to get fat. I mean,
So, but do you ever, you know, someone learns and he knows he's getting caught in time also. So it's pretty hard for that to learn Bo Lishma. In other words, saying that Christ was not Sadami, I would still totally learn 25. No, that's not called Lishma.
No, that's not Lishma.
Lishma means because I thought it was Sadami.
Right, he's not getting caught.
But that scar I don't see. That's not an immediate scar. So the scar that people usually do the mitzvahs for is, oh, they're going to call me a Talmud Chacham, they're going to stand up when I walk into the room, I'm going to make a Gevaldige Parnasse, I'll learn in the Torah, I'm paying a portion of money, and so on. I'll get a good shidduch, I'll get a girl Lakewood, get a good shidduch, and so on. So that, I'll get a lot of shidduch from the SOY, whatever it is. So usually people think of immediate rewards. So that's what Chaim Elazina says, Nishgatel, that's what the Gemara says. Of course, the highest form of doing mitzvahs is Lishma. It's much wonderful, much more wonderful if you do the mitzvahs for Lishma. But the Gemara says, you should do mitzvahs Shalal Lishma also. The only thing you shouldn't do Shalal Lishma is Chidushim. That's what the Nitziv has. As in his, he has in several of his son has a repeated thing. Many son of he has it in his tshuva. He talks about a community where there was one minion, and there was a big Talmid Chacham who wasn't accorded the proper respect that he should have been given in shul, so he wanted to break off. He didn't. Not he wanted to. He broke off and he made his own minion. And in his minion, he was the boss. He was the Maradash in his minion. And he did it out of Kovarat Teir. Because in the big shul, they weren't Mechabit him to the boy. He was a big Talmid Chacham. They didn't give him Shlishi or Shishi or Machliyan or whatever he deserved. He stood up and he walked in. They stood up and the other guy walked in. So he was a big Talmid Chacham. So he broke off and made his own minion. But Chaim Elazina says in which, so the Nitziv has in his tshuva halacha ma'aseh, he wrote a tshuva to this rabbi, and then he has in many other rabbis from who repeats the same thing, that when a person learns what it says, Rashi and Tosfos have spheres between the various gemaras. Most of the gemaras say that a person should learn anything shalav l'shmo, shemitach shalav l'shmo bo l'shmo. And sometimes the gemara says in brachas that one who learns shalav l'shmo is noach lo, u'lenetcha shul yasa l'apano. Or it's not law of Shalai Yisro. It would have been better that the person should never have been born. As a matter of fact, I think in the second period, no? A new Zion and Allah. Yeah. They still live in Beis Shammai. No, that's a different question. Is it not law of Shalai Yisro and Shalai Yisro? Is it better that a person should never have been born? Yeah, that's a different thing. No, here the Gemara is talking about a completely different topic, and this is unrelated. One who learns Shabbat Shema is Nerech Lo'ai Shabbat Yisro. The Tezis and Yud Zayinim and Allah presents this Kasha. How can the Gemara say Nerech Lo'ai Shabbat Yisro? The entire Mavraham, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Teret, Malkus, Shinov, Rabbi Afnun, and Rabbi the Yolam, Yachu, Karma, Tehne, Shabbat 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 Shabbat. So a lot of Rishonim give the same standard answer, that there are two types of Shalav Lishma. One is Lekanta, and one is L'Shem Kovod or L'Shem Parnasa, or whatever. If the person learns L'Shem Kovod or L'Shem Parnasa, so then the Gemara himself applies that he should learn Shalav Lishma. But if the person learns Lekanta, in order to show the others that they don't know how to learn, to show up everybody else, it's Lekanta, L'Hachis others, so then the Gemara says that it's not L'Shalav Nizah. That's how Tosfos says. So then it says, when you look at the Gemara, there, he claims that the Teret is very dochel. Because it doesn't fit into anyone. So again, I'm always showing the grand chutz. So he gives it, he says, the emes teretzes, the teretzes kasha, the emes teretzes, that he has this constant thing, that when the Gemara talks about oise, ha-oise shalav l'shmo. He didn't even ask him in the teretzes, you climb it out. Ha-oise shalav l'shmo. What do you mean, oise? So he says, like in Yiddish, he's saying, machen teret. The guy's Mechadish is the first, they say Machem Teres, so he goes through the whole Tanakh from the beginning to the end, and he says that Oysa means making Teres, being Mechadish in the Teres. There's a lot of Biur in my Tanakh where he uses that assumption, where he assumes like that, that the phrase, the term Oysa means to be Mechadish something in the Teres. So he says, when a person learns what it says already, so then the Gemara Mstachim applies, even if he learns Shalor Lishma, it's a mitzvah, until Shalor Lishma, Bor Lishma, but when a person comes to be Mechadish, so then to be Mechadish has to be Lishma. So then he carries this over, not only he carries this over from the area of learning to the area of Mitzvahs and Ma'asim Tovim. But if a person does Mitzvahs and Ma'asim Tovim, even Shalom Lishma is okay, he's obligated to. Why? Because that says on the books, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that you have to do this. Whether you like it or not, you have to like Tzura, and you have to fast on Yom Kippur, and you have to eat on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You have to do these Mitzvahs. So even if you do Shalom Lishma, it's okay. But if you mecharish new things, you break off your own minion, he says, he talks about it's true, you break off your own minion, because you want to have kovod ha-teirah. So he says, if it's really a libe de-emes, let's make kovod ha-teirah, then it's l'shem shamayim. But if there's any personal paniya, if it's a little bit shlo l'shmo, and you want to be mecharish something in hanhogis, and be mecharish new minhogim, and so on, then he says that it's not proper, then he says that it's an aveirah. That's how he reconciles the two gemaras. as you've seen, it's a recurrent theme by the Nitzvim. There's Giyurim and Chomesh and Hagar, everything. He has this theme several times. He explains many Gemaras and many Pesukim like that. If one wants to be Mechadish, has to be Mechadish Lishma. Our Kofar, that's what the Medrash is driving at. These are famous Medrashes. So that if Reuven would have realized that the Torah is going to record the Mitzvah of Hatzolah that he did, he wouldn't have just done such a limp form of Hatzolah. He would have carried his brother Yosef on his shoulder all the way straight back to the top. If he knows, he's going to put up a plaque.
This room is given by the
Stavisky's family. He would have given more money. He would have given, that's what it says in Sohanot, that it's a mitzvah of Farsim, but he says, stop it. He quote the other day, he quote the Chulut of Rashba. That even though normally it's not proper to brag about the mitzvahs that a person does, and it says that if a person brags about the mitzvahs that he does, then he loses the schar. And the mocha that he quotes is the Gemara in Ksubis, that the Gemara says that that when one of the Tanoim, I think Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, when he came to heaven, so he asked them whether Nirasa HaKeshes B'Yamecha. He's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Rav Shulam Alevi. Shulam Alevi is. So he asked whether Nirasa HaKeshes B'Yamecha, whether the rainbow appeared during his lifetime. So the Gemara makes an assumption that the rainbow only appears in a generation where the people really deserve to be punished, where they deserve to be killed, where they deserve to have a flood to drown them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows the rainbow that it's not that because he promised in the days of Noach that he won't bring another marble to the world. And if not for the rainbow, which is representative of the promise, that he really would bring a flood to the world at that given time. So if you live in a generation where everybody has tzaddikim, or when someone is such an outstanding tzaddik, then in his chus, the world deserves to continue to exist, not to be destroyed, then the Rebbeinu Shlomo wouldn't show any rainbow. That's how the Gemara assumes. It's a very strange Gemara, because the Ramban points out from is the rainbow is a natural phenomenon. The rainbow used to appear even before the days of Noah. The rainbow didn't only come into existence in the days of Noah.
You said that there
existed
before
the Ramban, I think it's right like that. But it says that the Greek philosophers explain that the rainbow is a natural phenomenon, it can be explained according to nature. So the Ramban has a whole commentary on Chumash. It does mean that the Rebbeinu Shlomo only brought the rainbow Yeshmeyayim from the days of Noah Khan before there was no rainbow. There was always a rainbow. At that time the Rebbeinu Shlomo said, take that rainbow as a skimmin. Is an oath priest. Why is it so? It's explained that because it's an upside down keshes. It's an upside down bow. If the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants to shoot arrows, then you have the bow the other way to show that he's shooting arrows down. So in fact, the rainbow forms itself like that as a natural phenomenon that can be explained al piteva. I don't know what it is, but that's what the Ramban says. He quotes from books on science. And then he says the fact that the rainbow happens to be facing up, the bow is facing up, shows that the arrows are shooting up, they're not shooting down. The Gemara says that in a generation where the people have an outstanding tzaddik who will be made in on the door, the rainbow will not appear. So when he came to heaven, yes, when the nearest HaKesh is the Amecho, so the truth of the matter was that the rainbow never appeared in his lifetime. In fact, in his chus, he was such a great tzaddik of the Shulam Alevi, and never appeared because the generation didn't need the Haftach in order to be protected and saved. But he told a lie in order not to be machzik tovah liatmos. He said, yes, the rainbow did appear. So they said, so what's so the Malachim asked in heaven, so who says it is such a great tzaddik? Why did they announce in advance that Bali Boy is coming, or Shulam Alevi is coming up to heaven? What's so great about him if the rainbow appeared in his daytime, in his lifetime? So he's not such a great tzaddik. So the Gemara explains that he didn't want to be machzik tovah himself. So you see in the Gemara that you're not allowed to brag about your mitzvahs and your mitzvahs and tell about what a great tzaddik you are. I'm the biggest tamachov in the world. I'm the biggest tzaddik. And I did this mitzvah and these mitzvahs and so on. Even to the extent that you're supposed to tell a lie sometimes. That's what the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, that there are three things a tamachov is not supposed to tell a lie. You must be back in Aveda to a tamachov in the Shriya. But tamachov doesn't mean one who is learning. It means one who never tells a lie. One who never tells a lie, not necessarily related. No similarity living or dead. A guy knows how to lie, a guy doesn't tell a lie. He may not necessarily be the same guy. So the Gemara says, what if the guy sometimes tells a lie? So then he can't get back to the Aveda to see a sign. That's to give some money. Adrosh Ochicha said, Darshay Shabbat Yehei Ramai. If he's a Tamachachim who never tells a lie, then if Darshay Shabbat Yehei Ramai, you give it back to Tia Sain. And if he's a person who sometimes does tell a lie, then you can only give it back if he gives some money. Adrosh Ochicha also requires, either he should be a Tamachachim who's never Meshana to be Bure, or he should give some money for the Aveda. So the Gemara says, what if sometimes he does fall alive, then he doesn't get back, he has very little field time. So the Gemara says that there are three things that everybody, the Kamachachma, should also tell a lie about. So one of them is the Mesichta. If he asks him if he knows brachas, even if he knows it, he should say no. Of course, can if he taka does know. But even if he knows it, so the Gemara says he should say no, in order not to be master tells the Liatma, in order to drop on either. The Gemara says the same thing there, that it's a mitzvah sometimes, a mitzvah to tell a lie. You should not leave it in order not to brag about the mitzvahs of my sincerity. So present the other day, that despite the fact that normally we discourage people from bragging about their stock activities. And stock should really be done, even stock should also be done, even stock should also be done, not with a hefty, but if by announcing it, if by calling out the pledges, you will encourage other people to give stock, then it's a mitzvah to call out the pledges. That's what they make. And they make all the appeals for all the stock organizations, so they call out the pledges in public. So they should hear that if Pete is giving $100,000, Koshkin, everybody else should give more. So they can afford more, they think. Pete can't afford any giving, so other people should certainly give that much. That's what it says. When you're not going to gain anything by calling it out, just going to gain to give him COVID, so then there's no Indian to call it out. Unless you think that he's going to give more money. If you mechabed him, he's going to give more money. Or by calling out his pledge, you'll get other people to do the same as him. When there's a toilet, then you are allowed to announce. That's what Chaim Baruch points out. The Gemara says you should always do mitzvahs and ma'aseh tzedakah shelo lishma. You shouldn't wait till you're going to do it lishma. You should always do shelo lishma. So sometimes you encourage people to give tzedakah shelo lishma if you think they're going to give more, or think they're not going to give otherwise. And then you say, so give tzedakah shelo lishma. Then we're going to honor you. We're going to make you the guest of honor. Okay? Then he'll agree to give $1 million. If you don't make him the guest of honor, he'll give $1 million. Then you give the stock. It's a lot of
No,
he knows that he wouldn't give so much if they wouldn't make him the guest of honor. But to make him guest of honor, he's going to give more. Or not that he's going to give more and then he's going to give less to some other charity. He's going to give more sum total. Make him the guest of honor, so I'll give all of my sum total of all the charity that I give, he's going to give more. Or I feel if he makes me the guest of honor, so other people who normally would not give money or who would give less will be giving more. So the stock will be making more. So then, in the proper thing is that you should become the guest of honor. Yes?
Just enough.
Almost as much. Almost. It happens to be quoted in the Hilchot Tzedakah. Shulchan Aruch was quoted by Tzedakah. More than you have to. I don't think so. The Aruch of Tzedakah, there are certain mitzvahs, Tzedakah and learning Torah and Yerushalayim and Aruch Hashem, there are certain mitzvahs that begin is not the same for all the people, that it all depends to the ability that you're able to see Mukhir to do more. So if a wealthy person can give more tzedakah, so sometimes not to see Mishur Sadin. A lot of people are not fulfilling their obligation to give the amount of tzedakah that they should give.
Well, I wouldn't
advise to do this for the also. Somebody wants to spend $1,000 to do it, but nobody won't bother to write down, won't say, and that's unless you can get a lot of money to say. No, to be Mechadish Olah Lishmol. That's a guy has to say Chabur and Nikhelo. He's going to sit down with a pen and learn the Gemara in order to be Mechadish something. I remember there was a guy, he was running in the car, he was sitting with a notebook and a pen, the first time he ever learned the Mesifta, he's ready to write his Sefer. He's ready writing the Chidushim. That you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to learn it out of Almanach to be Mechadish. You learn the Torah, the Rashi, the Gemara, the Rashi, the Tosafot, the Rishonim, you learn whatever you learn, to see what it says. And then if it happens, Min HaShemayim, something happens to occur to you, some good idea falls into your mind, okay, so you have a Chidush. But to go out of your way, to try to learn in order to be Mechadish, that's what the Mitzvah says is also. To learn Almanach to be Mechadish is also. Making Chidushim is certainly not the Ikon Mitzvah Kamtah. Is that correct? For sure not.
Do you want to make sure that also published in the Lishma? In other words, you already wrote the Shadeh, but you might have written the Lishma, but if you're doing it, if you want to read it,
right.
It should have.
Right. That's another thing. That the post can stay based on the Gemara. That printing sale is really basically an Israel of Dron Shabbatah. We have to Hashem Yom and Dixah. But the Gemara and Tzmur at the beginning of the year says, "Why is the Musa because they class of Hashem? That's only, many posts say that's only to say class of Hashem if you do it the same Shammai. That's along the same lines as this mitzvah. When you're doing something in Avera Lishma, there's a whole theme on Chiddush about that. Whenever a person does an Avera Lishma, so it's Mutter, the Gemara has a Gemara doing a very Lishma. In rare cases, they're going to have to talk a deal with Shema. I got cut sheer in order to... or in order to organize some kind of a concert, or in order to make a program at the Russian embassy. So if he does it with Shema, it's okay. If he wants more people to become religious by listening to this concert, if he wants more people to... he wants to really to get the Jews out of Russia by having more protests and so on. And he wants really to fulfill the mitzvah of getting married and have children and so on. So then if he does it, L'shem Shemayim is good. But if he's cutting shear because he wants his son to have a good time, he wants to relax and meet some girls at the protest rally, have a good time, sing, mechatesa. People will become religious. They won't become religious from the concert, mechatesa. So then it's not an aver l'shma. Then it's an aver shalom l'shma. An aver shalom l'shma. Sure there's no hetzah. Aver l'shma is a hetzah. The Gemara says, "Gedel aver lishma, ki mitzvah shelo lishma." When a person has an aver lishma, he gets a reward for that, like one who does the Gemara Seder says, like one who does a mitzvah shelo lishma. There's a shia that up until then is for Kavod, and after that is Gaiva. It's not exactly identical. Kavod and Gaiva are not always the same. Once it enters, once the Kavod is so much that the person is misguided, then it's an Aveira. An Aveira, not another thing. But... Gaiva means when a person exaggerates his greatness. When a person just is... they're just saying that he gives a lot of stalker. He's a religious man, gave a lot of stuff, gave $5 million over the last year for stuff. So that's not an exaggeration, that's not guidance. And they give it a cover that he deserves. Okay. But if they exaggerate his greatness, they say, and he's a Yodea Sefer, and all of his children are coming to Hachamim, and they're not, and he's not a Yodea Sefer. So they start laying it on thick, and then he enjoys that also. If they say it, and he doesn't react, he's not. But if he gets on off, and the fact that they're mechaber him, I think that he does not, that's already done. That means when you exaggerate.
Right.
When a person does a midas chassid, is that he and he's not on that level of Yiras Hashemayim. Right. So the Gemara has later in the second parak in Brachos, that's Tachan Yisrael of Yuhara. The end of the second parak in Brachos, the Gemara has all discussion. There's an Yisrael of Yuhara, and by the Chos, right? So I didn't like that. But Gaiva? Why Gaiva is an Issa?
Is that like you're saying that you should give more stuff so that you can be more confident? You're telling me that sometimes you don't have to do it at all. You want to say you want to tell yourself you're ecstatic, but a lot of people see you as special anyway. So it's not the same thing. It's very important you have to get stuff. And I don't believe that it takes color to make you do it and you can have it well. Yeah, but you see, you don't have to do it. So you're...
Yeah. So Reuven saved the brother a little bit, and the Gemara comments that if he would have realized, if he would have been properly motivated, with a little motivation of Shlod Shema, a little improper motivation, then he would have done more. And sometimes we all need a little improper motivation. Then he passed the comments about Yehuda. That Yehuda was the old, Yehuda was sort of the Mela. Somehow they all respected Yehuda. So he said, "Ma betzer tina zefachin v'chisima zamoi v'chuvin v'kleina la yishmeila." So the Gemara attacks Yehuda terribly. The Gemara says Yehuda was a good for nothing over here. And the Gemara says that te berach niyet Hashem. The pasuk says that whoever praises Yehuda who says "Ma betzer tina zefachinu," but te berach is niyet Hashem. And if the guy's already doing, the guy's already doing a hatzolah and they're listening to him, so he should have done the whole hatzolah. Why did he sell him to the? If they're listening to him, Reuven was afraid maybe they're not going to listen to him. So if he would have been motivated, if he would have realized the cover that he's going to get, so he would have fought against all the brothers. But apparently Yehuda didn't have to fight, though. They all respected him, even though he wasn't the oldest. They all respected him. So he should have really done much more. So the Gemara says not so. So the Gemara says that Yehuda had the ability to do much more. Apparently, they all treated Yehuda as the Melech. That's why it says, Hotsiyuho Vissistore. Why? So the Ramban explains that that they felt that it was a bizarre to Yehuda as the Melech, that his daughter-in-law should go be Mizanah. That's like a murder Malchus Chai Musa, that's why they wanted to kill, that's why they wanted to kill him. So Yehuda, even the Goyim, treated somehow. The Goyim and the brothers, everybody somehow treated Yehuda as the Melech. And later on, he was Tatis Zechel Malchus. Malchus is supposed to come from Yehuda. But he also shared with Yehuda. That's the bracha that Yaakov gave Yehuda, that just like he's a Melech now. So we have to shave Yehuda, the Malchus continued to be by him. So he was respected apparently by the brothers and by the Nochim and by the Goyim and every synonym. It's very important. Sometimes we look at people as certain people go down in history as good people because they did certain good things, but they were in a position of leadership, they could have done so much more. So the Gemara says to praise such a person is a sin. Let's say a rabbi. Some Orthodox rabbis are in positions that if they're going to demand too much from their balabatim, they should all become Shomer Shabbos or Taras HaMishpacha or Kashrus. That's too much. But that's not great. They shouldn't talk during davening or whatever. So that's all they'll listen to. Whatever. Little things they'll listen to, and the big things they won't listen to. So that's all they can accomplish in this business. They can accomplish more. But if a person is Yesh B'Yod Olim Chazvein Amoicha, a person has the ability, he has the authority, everybody listens to him. And he only tries for little things, and he doesn't work on the big things, so then we're not even allowed to praise him for the little things. That's what he more comments about Judah, but said, Be'ech Niyat Hashem, that you praise a person for the small accomplishments that he gained at a time that he could have accomplished much more. Could have accomplished much more, so that's another area to praise the person.
Even if he did it smart. In other words, he didn't
think
that he could do
this
other things.
It was his obligation to estimate his position properly. So Yeruvain was not really, the Derech HaTeva, he was not in a position to do more. That's all he was in a position to do. But the Medrash says that sometimes, let's say, people during the war, when they were running away from the Nazis, they did Meshunah, did the thing, Lamarim, Mekechim, Beryem, they did unusual things, because it was Mamish. Their lives were at stake, so they exerted themselves and they ran for miles and miles, for hours and hours, and they did unusual, crazy things because it was under crazy circumstances. The Medrash says that if Reuven would have realized what cover he would have gotten, he would have gone out of his way, done a crazy thing, he would have fought all the brothers single-handed. So he would have carried Jason Palm on his shoulder to fight them. So we don't condemn Reuven because he didn't do more. We just point out, gee, if he would have realized, he would have realized that it's like running away from the Nazis, and you should always work to your utmost of your ability. But Yehuda, Bezerah HaTeva, should have assessed his position, and he was in a position of authority and leadership. And that's why we condemn him for not doing more. He should have realized that he could have accomplished more. That Gemara is in which Gemara? That Yehuda. That's in Sanhedrin, Zav on the base. And why the whole discussion on that pasuk of Tia Bera. Yeah.
Why is it true that Yehuda was doing it for such good intentions? I mean, he says, maybe he's saying, we're not going to help us, we can get money out of it. He wasn't doing
Then he didn't do anything to change his mind.
Yeah.
He saved his brother's life? No.
Well, no, but was that his motivation?
So it sounds like my best. Why should we let him die? Let's let him live, but be miserable.
Well,
my mom, right? Yeah. So everything was shalom lishma. Could be.
So then maybe really the person has in mind. Maybe if a person estimates the situation to be such anxiety, well, I'm going to do this, but if I do more, then I'm not sure if they'll listen to me. So he's a very one that he didn't assess his position on. He's a very one he didn't do anything.
Could be. The Gemara has a comment regarding Yaakov. Usually the Gemara does not attack the others. The Gemara assumes that Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov are very holy people, very great people. unless the pasuk says that they did some sin that they either sometimes punished for, sometimes not punished for. And once in a while the Gemara and the Medrash will bring out new averes that the others did. Most of the time the Gemara will not pick on the others. They have sometimes the Ramban picks on the others in situations where you have no Midrashim and no Gemara. So they say the Chafetz Chaim used to be very uncomfortable with those Rambans. He didn't like them. What is Ramban picking on the others if there's no source of the Medrash and Chazal? So he said Avram did an aver that he went to Mitzrayim when there was a roof. And he said that it was an aver. There's a roof, so what do you want? So what's he going to do? So Ramban chapters on Avram, he did an aver. This was an aver, that's an aver. Whatever says in the Medrash is an aver. Chav Chaim didn't like the Netziv either. The Netziv on Chumash has a lot of original things. Mamash, he gives new interpretations of Gans and Aparshias with no Mekoris and very flimsy Mekoris in Chazam. So he's very unhappy about that too. So here, the Rizal Gemara and Shabbos in the first place, where the Gemara condemns Yaakov about the way he raised his children. So the Gemara says that he had a favorite child. Originally Yosef was the favorite, and later Binyamin was the favorite. And the Gemara says, and what was the whole Yisrael Ahavis Yosef Mikobanov Ki Benji Kudim Ulov Yosef Lok Sonas Pasim. He made only for Yosef Sonas Pasim and not for the other brothers. What he had, the other brothers